I'd like you to hear the wonderful prayer that Paul had for us. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's one reason we come today, is God wants to fill our lives with His love and His grace. And so I'm glad that you've responded to that call. I'm glad that you're here to hear Paul's prayer for you. So thanks for coming. When you go out today, if you want, they're in the mail. They got in the mail just a little bit late, but there's some extra newsletters on the podium out there if you want to grab one, if you're anxious before they arrive at home. Also, it's 2 weeks before our Mardi Gras. Please be our word of mouth. Please be our invitation. Tell people, if anybody can go, anyone, they can get tickets at the preschool office during the week. Anybody can enter the raffle, whether they go or not. So please be our advertisement this week and next. We'd love it if you could make it. It's always a time of very fun fellowship. And because it's at Crown Colony, the food ain't too bad either. So hope to see you there for that. In the back of the bulletin are all the committee announcements. So please be aware of those. What I'd like you to do is just turn to somebody that is sitting really far from you and welcome them in the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. God said, let there be light. Let's try again. God said, let there be light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We come hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Praise be to God. Let us pray. You call us wanderer of seashores and sidewalks, inviting us to sail out of our smug harbors into the uncharted waters of faith, to wander off from predictable paths to follow you into the unpredictable footsteps of the kingdom, to leave the comfort of our homes and accompany you into the uncomfortable neighborhoods we usually avoid. So as we worship this morning in our simple, sometimes crazy, constantly uncertain lives, speak to our hearts your grace of that hope which is our anchor, that peace which is our rock, that grace which is our refuge, your presence, which is our fortress, your forgiveness, which is our renewal, and that service with you that is our great privilege. So do come And not just be present, but speak your life-giving truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's praise God. Our first hymn of praise is God of Grace and God of Glory, verse 1 through 4. And that's going to be hymn 420 in your hymnal. Let's stand and sing that together, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Be seated. Scripture declares that while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. All of us have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory, but Christ came and died for us so that we might live our lives in God as God's redeemed people. With that in mind, let us confess together. Compassionate God, be gracious to us, for we have gone astray from your ways. You say, blessed are the merciful, but in our greed we demand to possess and fail to give. You say, blessed are the pure in heart, but in our lust we sacrifice others to serve ourselves. You say, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, but in our comfort we grow lukewarm. It is evident we have loved the darkness. Give us grace again to walk in the light, so that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and we have true fellowship with you and one another. Amen.
Thank you.
Children of God, the good news tells us that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has begun. Our new life in Jesus Christ really, truly is new. Thanks be to his forgiveness. Know this and be at peace. And let's celebrate this new life we have as we give God the glory, singing the Gloria Patri. Be seated. Hopefully, or the goal of worship is that when we come and gather as God's people and God's word is read and God is revealed, we see that God is so good that there is nothing else in this world better that we could give our lives to. No one better in this world that we could give our entire lives to. This moment now is just one aspect of that, but it does remind us God is great, God is good, and hopefully we'll respond by the offering of ourselves, our time, our talent, and our resources. With that in mind, let us bring forth our offerings.
Heavenly Father, it is with great gratitude that we present these gifts. May they glorify you and further your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
You may be seated. Unless you're one of our young people, I'd love it if any of our young ones might want to help out. Michael, thanks for helping with the offering and for coming up here. Oh, you and your brother can help me out. Y'all come up over here. I'm going to put it here so the choir can see. I'm going to tempt them. But y'all tell me what you see under this napkin. We got a hungry choir member. French fries. We got a whole plate of French fries. Big ones, too. All right, now, do y'all like French fries? Do you eat them very often? I do, too. I love them. What's something you like to put? Do you like to put anything on them? Ketchup, yeah, I'm right there with you. I like dipping them in ketchup. What's something else people like on them? These are missing something. Do you like French fries without salt?
They're okay, but they're not awesome.
Yeah, they're okay, but they're not awesome. I agree wholeheartedly. Okay, but not all awesome. French fries, man, when you put the salt on them, they're really good, even if you don't have the ketchup to dip them in. Now, granted, I'd want the ketchup, too, because I like going overboard. But anyway, French fries are common food. But did you know salt goes in almost everything that we cook? I mean, it seasons everything we eat. Now, if I put this here, are the French fries going to taste any saltier? Now, what do I got to do? What's the obvious? Pour it on. You know what I like about the shaker? It's designed in such a way that it can perfectly pour the salt on those French fries. I don't know how good they are because they're not as warm as they were when I brought them out. My pulpit smells like French fries right now. I don't know. I'm gonna take a bite of one. Nah, they got kind of soggy sitting there. But you know what? Now they're going to taste good because they've got what they need. The main ingredient for French fries is salt.
Isn't it potatoes?
It is. These are just cut up potatoes. That's all it is. Potatoes. With salt. So, now, this perfectly designed mechanism called a salt shaker, like I said, will salt all these fries just right. But if you don't get the salt out of the shaker, the fries aren't as good as they could be. So here's what I want you to think about. Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said, "You, Michael and Ryan, are salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored?" But Jesus said, "You are salt of the earth." You know what he wants you to do? He wants God to pick you up like this and start seasoning the life around you so that it's better, so that it tastes much, much better. But do you think God wants to pick you up and pour out actual salt? You know what he wants to, you know what he wants to have come out of you? Absolutely right. His love. That's why we're here. We come and we enjoy the love of God. Hopefully we'll let him fill us to the full with that love. But not so that it stays inside, but so that it can be poured out. Let God, after you go to church today, pour you out. Look for a place where you can do something good for someone else. And that will be God pouring you out. So this week, find someone or something that you can do where you can do good for someone else. And that'll be God pouring his love out of you into the world so that it becomes much, much better. Let's pray. God, if there are areas of our lives that are closed off to your presence, we ask that in your grace you would gently open them so that we'd not only receive your love, but we would be filled to the full and even overflowing. And help that eternal love that you always have for us not just flow in us. Help it flow out of us. For Michael and Ryan, for the rest of the church, for all of us, help us to be your blessing for those in the world today. Amen. Thanks, guys. Next time, maybe I can get them really, really warm so that you can eat them, too. Appreciate it. Y'all give them a round of applause. And obviously, I made some of you hungry already. I apologize. Let's stand and sing our next hymn. It's going to be Take Thou Our Minds, Dear Lord, hymn 392. Let's stand and sing hymn 392.
As we hear Isaiah's words to the people, they let us know that a vibrant walk with the Lord leads to more than personal growth. As God's love and mercy fills our lives, we should be more able to extend that love and mercy to others. True faith is not only the inward trust and devotion to God, it is devotion to our neighbors as well. In ministry to others, God's love is made more manifest in our daily lives. I will read Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 9, found on page 688 of your pew Bible, if you wish to follow along. Let us hear God's word to the church today. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we see fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks for doing that, Bill, because Marguerite wasn't here to say beautiful. So appreciate that. We're going to take another look at the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to come out of the Beatitudes and go into some analogies that Jesus provides. And again, just to remember that when you're in Matthew looking at the Sermon on the Mount and you're wondering, how do I be this or how do I do this? A good answer is WWJD, what would Jesus do? You could look at Jesus and say, how did he salt the earth for God? What did that look like? You could look at Jesus being light of the world and say, how did he light the world for God? And I think that gives us insight as to what we are to do since we are called to continue the ministry he started so long ago. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, with God in you, you are to be salt of the earth. With God in your heart, you are the light of the world. A great question to ask then is, as salt, like I did with the children, are you remaining in the salt shaker? Are you being poured out to flavor the food around you? As light, are you not just switched on during this glorious time of worship, but are you shining bright outside the sanctuary in a world that has so many dark places and dim corners? You see, our baptism, whenever we baptize, it announces God poured out his forgiveness and love into our lives. It washed away our sins, and that water of baptism refreshes our living. And Jesus Christ didn't keep anything bottled up or switched off. Instead, he deliberately poured out his life on a cruel cross so the world could witness the demonstration of God's love actually forgiving our sin. If you're someone who is baptized, it means that like Jesus who was baptized, you're to come out of those most holy waters where, just like him, you embark on a holy mission. Your Christian faith places you on a mission for God. Your baptism in Jesus Christ is not just pointing you to the fact that you are saved. It's calling you to be on a mission where, like Jesus, you're pouring out your life as you proclaim God's love. Just like Jesus, who was baptized, you are to enter the wilderness, equipped and companioned by the Holy Spirit, to be on a radical, world-changing, transforming mission for God. So, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't want the salt to remain in the shaker and the light to be hidden. You may know that in the days before refrigerators, salt was used as a preservative to keep meat, fish, and other foods from decay, from spoiling too quickly. That's our mission as salt. As you know today, salt adds flavor to the food so that it tastes so much better. I don't know if you've watched the TV show Chopped, where they compete when making dishes. If you've watched that a couple of times, you'll be amazed how many instances there are where the contestants are criticized because they forgot to use the salt. And that leaves this wonderful creation they came up with rather bland. In ancient days, salt was so valuable as a preservative and flavoring that it was traded just like currency. You could actually trade salt for gold. It was that important. Roman soldiers were often paid in salt. And if a soldier didn't carry out his duty, they weren't paid because they would say, he's not worth his salt. That's where we get that expression. One thing I want you to think about also, not just salt, but about light, is think about a candle. Wax by itself won't light. Sure, the wax can melt and it can melt away, but it won't catch fire. A candle needs something in the center of it. That's something that we call a wick. With a wick, the candle can be lit. The wax is used as something that helps it continue to burn. But without that wick, there's no light. Think of your life as wax. God is the wick. And also realize, I've got a candle, but it's not giving off much light, does it? It needs an outside source. Until the two are joined together, now it can be giving its light. Because I don't want to catch the pulpit on fire. Maybe it'd be good if the pulpit were on fire, so to speak. But let me put that out. When we have God at the core of our lives and we're ignited by the Holy Spirit given to us at our baptism, you have a light within you that the Gospel of John says is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. Your mission, after encountering in worship the God who's constantly pouring His sacrificial love into you, your mission, granted by God Himself in your baptism, is to get out there and start pouring, to get out there and start shining. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Philippians 2:15 likewise explains that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And Ephesians 5:8 reminds us of our God-given mission. For once you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We're not put here in the world to be the Secret Service. To the government, they have this thing called the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, and they secretly go about the world doing their business. But to believers, CIA should stand for Christians in Action. We're to be salt, preserving the world from decay and adding the flavor of God's love as we pour and even allow our lives to be shaken if need be to get it all out. We're to be the light that shines in the many dark corners of our present day, because as baptized people, our life has forever been placed in the light of the world, which the darkness can never extinguish. But our biggest temptation is to walk out of church and live like the rest of the world, to just taste like everything else because nothing significant has been poured into our lives. It's to fumble and stumble around in the darkness, never allowing the light to shine through, because we've forgotten our mission and our purpose. A young boy visited a grand cathedral with his mother, and when they walked into this grand cathedral, they could see all around these incredibly beautiful stained glass windows, much like the one that we have. The difference being all the stained glass windows had all these people on them. And so the boy looked up and said, "Mom, who are those people in all those beautiful windows?" And she said, "Son, they're the saints." The little boy goes, "Ah, now I know what a saint is. It's someone that lets light shine through them." Y'all may have read this. I think it's in Chicken Soup for the Soul. But it's worthy of telling. Yeah, an older man was walking down the beach one morning. He came upon a little boy who was there picking up starfish and throwing them out into the ocean, picking up starfish that were on the sand and throwing them back into the water. You see, the high tide had washed hundreds and hundreds of starfish on shore. And so as the man approached, the boy said, "What are you doing?" And the boy said, "I'm saving starfish." Well, looking up and down the coastline, the man could see that that high tide had left many starfish there in the sand. And he said, "What difference does it make? There's way too many of them." And the boy reached down with a smile and he flung another one out into the ocean, and he said, "Well, it sure made a difference to that one." Communism or atheism or materialism or agnosticism or humanism or liberalism or conservatism or postmodernism. The great threat to Christianity is Christians trying to live incognito, without ever sharing their faith or living the Christian life, which is often so drastically different from the way of our world. The biggest threat to Christianity today is never becoming involved in the most significant work God is doing on the planet and not inviting others to join in with us. We should never let the littleness of our present culture keep us from the bigness of faith to which Jesus calls us. God has purposed for you. God has purposed for you a mission to go from church with the love of Christ and to start pouring it out and letting it shine. The poem sums it up this way. At the spot God has placed you, begin it once to do. Little things that brighten up the lives surrounding you. For everybody brightened up the spot on which they are standing by being more considerate and a little less demanding. The dark world would very soon eclipse the evening star if everybody brightened up the corner where they are. Your baptism has called you here this morning to this very moment in worship to encounter the glory of God shining bright, His eternal, sacrificial, undying love in our midst. But remember, it also calls you that when you walk out these doors, you're stepping onto the mission field. Pour, shine, and dream a huge dream of a world that becomes even more beautiful than this very sanctuary. Because it's God's purpose for you and for all. Amen. Because God has spoken through His Word, He's been revealed, and because He's been revealed, we do know something of what we believe. And whenever we stand and do the affirmation here in faith, it is to respond to God who is still speaking to us this very day, but it's also to remind us. We're to share what we know and believe with the world around us. It begins here, but it's taken out there. So with that in mind, let's respond to God as we stand and declare our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Because God is with us now and always, let's go to Him with our lives and with our prayers. Let's pray. God, thank You for the grand welcome that You give us into Your kingdom. Our prayer this morning is You would, by the presence of Your Holy Spirit, enable us to live as citizens of that kingdom. We thank You for all You did to make our entrance into that kingdom possible, which was to not only give everything, but to give Your very best and most valuable, Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for His sacrifice on the cross for our sins and His rising to new life, so that He could share that victory and all it contained to us. We ask that You would empower us to live victorious lives, not just for ourselves, but for the sake of others, that they would see there is a way to overcome. There is a way that really does discover blessing. There is a way that moves us away from self-centeredness and pride to where our focus and attention is not on ourselves, but upon others. So help us, please, in both word and deed, to make Your love that we do know is in our hearts known in the world today. Because our world is hurting, Lord, and it is living in darkness. There's decay all around, chaos present everywhere. And we just ask that you would come and in your grace order our lives as you order the world according to your love and redeeming power. The church needs you today to be light so that people can see your love, and to be salt so that people can experience what it's like to have you taken truly into themselves. And as we pray, we ask your blessing. We ask your blessing on those who are planning to be married. We ask your blessing on those that are just seeking to raise a family. We ask your blessing on those that are caring for others. We ask your blessing on the preschool, which is trying to teach little lives. And we ask your power for those that are struggling through disease, illness, calamity, and any other brokenness the world might have brought their way. But thank you that in the midst of a world that is so changing, where in our futures it's hard to know what to expect, we do know full and well by faith that we can trust in you. So fulfill all you've promised as we continue to look to you with eyes of faith, and receive us now and make us more into the image and likeness of Christ as we come to you praying the way in which he taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our going out song is Be Strong in the Lord. The words are there in your bulletin, so grab your bulletin. Let's go out singing Be Strong in the Lord. You are salt. You are light. Go forth ministering in the name of Jesus Christ. And as you do, rejoice in the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit, which is with you now and forever. Amen.